This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat, and I'm pleased to welcome on the program today Jane Hash, who is an advocate actually from California, just so a couple different time zones away from us. But I got connected to Jane because she and I share a number of friends on Facebook. And I knew she was an active disability advocate, and I thought, well, what an interesting person to have on my show. So here we have Jane Hash. Welcome to the program, Jane.
Thank you so much. You know, this is my first live interview, and I think that's because when people get to know me a little bit, they don't totally trust that I'm not going to say something inappropriate or swear. So I'm going to do my best, but I can't make any promises on that.
Well, we don't have a delay on our broadcast, so be really careful, okay?
Okay, I can do it.
Okay, good.
I can do it.
You've done a lot in your life, so I want you to kind of explain to the listeners who you are and a little bit about your disability and your focus on health that you've had over your adult years.
Sure. So I'm a disability advocate and a content creator, and that combination leads me to meet a lot of interesting people, you know. And I have osteogenesis imperfecta. And if you do a Google search for images of people who have this condition, I found it to be overwhelming how clinical and just medical all of these images are. And that had bothered me for a long time. Now, when I started creating content, it was just an audio podcast. And it was kind of a mishmash of political, current events, and disability-oriented topics. Mm-hmm. Whenever I covered a disability topic, I would focus on a specific person who had a disability that was doing something that I thought was cool, like wrote a book or had a web series or was a musician. And that was great. But I wanted to do something different that incorporated, you know, something that I was personally making and doing, but also benefiting the disability community.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been studying for years on about herbs, nutrition, anything under the umbrella of naturopathy, mm-hmm. because that seems to resonate better with my body and taking care of myself. So I retired the podcast and went to YouTube with a shift in focus on living a healthy lifestyle with a disability. And I wrote a blog to go with it. And even though I'm not the kind of person that's like, look at me, I kind of had to tap into that to reach one of my goals, mm-hmm. which was to produce images of a disabled person just living their life and being happy. So I have photos of myself, and I'm very lucky that my significant other is a photographer. So every time I post something on my blog, I make sure to post an image of me enjoying nature or making lunch, just doing something that people do. Mm-hmm. Disabled people are not always a patient and you know, just live that. I did not like that the images about us made us look like sickly specimens. And changing that is one of my goals with my YouTube channel and my blog.
That is very interesting, but it might be interesting too for people to understand, those who aren't familiar with osteogenesis imperfecta, what exactly that is and how it impacts you.
Absolutely. It is a connective tissue disorder, which means it affects your entire body. But the most obvious symptom is the way it affects a person's bones. I have a more severe type, which is why I'm only 2'7". And most of my bones are bowed and fracture very easily. I have fractured well over 200 times. Mm. I stopped counting a long time ago.
Probably a good idea.
I mean, what's the point? I mean, I recover and I'm still here. So I'd rather focus on that part, you know. And there are treatments for this disability, and I don't do any of them. They just don't feel right to me. I feel like some of them have not been around long enough to know what the long-term side effects are going to be. Now, after I hit menopause and my body changes, I might think differently and try some of the treatments available. But right now, eating healthy, taking my herbal supplements, and just living a healthy lifestyle is the best thing I can do for myself at this point in time.
And so what kinds of things, talk a little bit about your life. You're just your day-to-day activities. Obviously, you're doing a lot of advocacy, but what form does that take?
I used to do a lot of protests and things like that. And then when I saw people I knew getting thrown out of their wheelchairs by law enforcement, and now it's become fashionable to ram your vehicle into a crowd of protesters. Okay, any of that would kill me. I would not survive. And then my advocacy work is done because I would be dead.
Right.
So that just doesn't seem like something I should continue to do. So I have shifted course. And in the past several years, when an issue comes up, I would just make an appointment with a legislator and go talk to them directly in their office face-to-face. I have found that to be more productive. Now that I live here in California, that is a little bit more difficult because California is gigantic. And so, but we have the power of Zoom and video, like what I've done to discourage people who are medically fragile from putting their bodies on the line and protesting is make a video. Say what you need to say and send that video to who needs to hear it. It benefits everyone greatly when a bigger organization that has a far reach, further than just a person on social media, if they share the video or host the video, that has worked out great many times. Now, we're in a different place right now than we have been in my entire adult life regarding how we interact with the administration and figuring out which advocacy strategies are going to be most effective. And I feel like I'm in a brand new void, and it's been tough getting my footing, so to speak, to see where my skills are going to be the most useful.
Well, you certainly have a strong voice and all the video work that you have done in the past. So that is certainly a good point of advocacy. So what are the things that, for people out there who have osteogenesis and or are have a family member with that, what are the things that you recommend for them to do and how to support their family member or themselves?
First, get as much information as you can about OI. And I don't mean just talking to doctors. Talk to other families, especially adults that have osteogenesis imperfecta. It is very common that when a family has a baby and they have OI, they want to talk to other parents. And that's great, but it needs to go beyond that. They often don't want to talk to someone my age who has OI. And that baffles me because doctors will give you a terrifying diagnosis. They told my mother I was going to die within a few hours and a few days, and I'm 50 years old. I'm still here. Mm-hmm. So I would think that talking to someone that has already beat the odds would be empowering. But it's important to let someone with OI figure out what their limitations are, because you can't tell somebody. This condition affects everyone a little bit differently.
Of course.
Yeah. And sometimes watching, you know, and allowing someone to figure out their limits on their own, injuries are going to happen. I've broken arms and legs figuring out what I can and cannot do. And I cannot imagine how devastating that had to be for my mother to watch that. But at the same time, I needed to experience that. And that is a very controversial take on it within the OI community.
I'm sure it is. I mean, that's got to be painful for parents to watch their child get hurt constantly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of your attention in recent years has turned to the political situation that is surrounding people with disabilities in the world, and not just those with, you know, your particular disability, but all. What are your thoughts on what's going on right now?
You know, the strategies we used to use to influence legislators to make more compassionate decisions are not going to work, I don't believe, because we're not dealing with individuals who are equipped with empathy. And healthcare and everything that's going on is very emotional. But I think there should be more focus on numbers. Like, they're all focused on, oh, we got to get Medicaid because it costs so much money. But I haven't seen any conversations addressing the fact that if healthcare coverage is taken away from people who seem to be able-bodied and not disabled, they're actually going to be creating more disabled people. Mm-hmm. Because my entire care team, who comes to my house every day, gets me up, helps me eat healthy, and supports me in living my healthy lifestyle, every one of them is dependent on either physical therapy, chiropractor, medication. And most of them get Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So if that's taken away, I'm going to lose half of my support, which means I'm not going to have the support to live a healthy lifestyle, and my health is going to go down the drain along with them.
Right. We're talking about quality of life for people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that affects everybody, not just disabled people. I mean, even on my YouTube channel, yeah, I focused on creating a positive, healthy image of a person with a disability, but there's something in every one of my videos that anybody watching it could benefit from. even if it's just a laugh, because I don't like to edit out when something goes wrong, because I think being able to laugh at yourself is critical for maintaining sanity.
I believe that too. You're absolutely right. You know, and what's really hard to believe for me is that even though the Republicans are in power right now, and they are really, many of them are pushing these cuts very, very hard, disability affects both sides of the political spectrum. And so I can't believe at this point, and I could be proven wrong completely, that they will go ahead and pass these cuts, knowing what the result would be. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope we stay in touch. I'd love to have you back again. When you have something else you want to talk about, just let me know. I'll put you on the show one more time. Jane Hash, advocate and really positive person. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Jane.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Lean on me. When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm happy to welcome once again to the program a returning guest, Sharon Costabile, who is an organizer of the Systems Change Effort Engage Illinois, which a lot of people are a part of, but not enough yet. So welcome to the program, Sharon.
I'm glad to have you on.
So let's talk a little bit about you first. For those people who haven't heard your voice yet, why don't you introduce yourself to them?
Okay. I am living in Naperville, Illinois, and I have a daughter. Her name is Rachel. She's 39 years old. She is currently living with two other roommates in an apartment that the three girls rent and have services provided on site there for them, covering 24/7. They are all three girls using home-based support. So we have woven together a system to support them. And that's where it all starts.
That is where it all starts. And, you know, even though Rachel is 39, she said she's 39 now? Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been involved with people with disabilities for a long time, certainly your daughter, but something lit a fire under you little while back. Talk a little bit about that.
So, Vicki, I think all of us as parents of a son or daughter with a disability struggle with what will happen to our kiddo when they're grown and independent to whatever extent they're able and living on their own, if at all possible, with supports. How can that be sustained? And in our state, sustainability has become just an overwhelmingly huge issue for many, many families. We have such a large number, actually, of families that are aging, and I'm one of them, that, you know, as we get older and struggle with, you know, can I die in peace knowing that my daughter will be able to live on her own, and who's going to be managing her program? And, you know, at this point, 72% of the individuals with developmental disabilities in Illinois are living with their family caregiver, and 24% of those caregivers are over 60. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we grow older and we have this aging process going on, it's not at a place where there's enough capacity and opportunity that is supported by the Medicaid system, which the majority of our folks are eligible for. And so, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what can we do to make that better? And that is, in fact, the driving force for me is my daughter's is currently living with a couple of roommates. We, you know, we have a place for her. We have a program that is working incredibly. All three girls are living a life that they dream of, they plan for, they talk about, and they do lots of cool things in addition to having all three of them having jobs in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that now. But the question is, without me, it won't continue the way that the system is set up and structured now.
Right. So, and you know, a lot of people, a lot of parents have their sustainability plan is, I'm going to live one day longer than my kid.
Yeah, yeah. And or there's a sibling involved.
Or a sibling, yeah.
You know, a lot of folks think, hey, you know, the older sibling will, or the younger sibling has agreed that, you know, so-and-so can live with them. Well, I have said, and I believe for many folks this is true, that when you live with a sibling, you are kind of living the sibling's life. You're not living your own life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my daughter, older daughter, has said, Mom, you know, Rach can come live with me if something happens to you. This is before we set up her own place. And I said, yeah, but, you know, the fact of the matter is my daughter's older daughter's got a couple of young kids playing baseball and in volleyball and activities. And so Rachel is going to be following along doing those things and certainly will enjoy some of that. But is she going to be able to create a cookbook, which she and her roommates just did? Is she going to be able to go to a church when she wants to if her sister doesn't want to go to church? No. And the same holds true for her living with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then she's living my life instead of her own life. So, yeah, it's a tough question. And I think as parents, you know, we believe we're here to care for our kids and that's just what you do.
Yeah.
But there is a better way to address their independence and their ability to do what they want in life.
And that's kind of the start of Engage Illinois, which really the opening shot on that was done in, was it April or May of this year?
It was in May 16th in Springfield.
Yeah, and we had 50 people.
We had 70 people.
70.
And yeah,
not we refer to people it now, online.
No, that counts the people online. But what we refer to it now is the Springfield 70, because we are so grateful that we were able to jumpstart that meeting by, believe it or not, a letter to the governor is what started this whole mm-hmm. process. I became so frustrated with the system in Illinois that I wrote an 11-page letter and sent
with
it off.
With charts and graphs and pictures, I
charts and graphs and statistics. Mm-hmm. And I know that Governor Pritzker loves statistics. So I kept that in mind. And I actually got a call within days of the letter being received, because I did send it, return receipt requested. And I got a call from the governor's senior advisor, Ryan Croak, who you obviously mentioned in your news update.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan was an incredibly wonderful listener. And I asked Ryan, I said, if there was a way to develop a strategic planning meeting for change in the state of Illinois, I said, would you be willing to come? And I was just so pleased and shocked at the same time. And he said, yes, I'd be willing to come. I said, well, stay tuned.
Yeah.
And I got off of that phone call and I was giddy. I was just giddy. I thought, we got a possibility here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I proceeded to call what I now know, and I don't know how I realized this, but I now know that every person that I reached out to, I have heard referred to as those that are highly involved in the system. Well, no. And then the other problem is that home-based funding is not based on a needs assessment. So there's a flat rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stipend, so if you will, of $34,000 a year. That if you choose home-based funding for your individual with a disability, you get $34,000 a year to direct as you need. Now, if you're living at home and you're getting respite care and you're getting some services in that way, maybe the $34,000 is okay for a period of time. But the fact of the matter is, you can't live in the community with a scaffolding of support around you, independently or semi-independently, for $34,000 a year.
That's right.
It's impossible. It's poverty. It's poverty level.
Depending on your need. I mean, some people may be able to live with that kind of support, but people with, you know, relatively significant disabilities are not.
No. And if you live in a group home, the agency that manages that group home, using an example of my daughter, so my daughter's, based on her needs, would receive approximately $70,000 a year in a group home mm-hmm. for the agency. And so she's getting $34,000 to live independently without the agency. Well, that's it's not equitable.
Yeah.
So the agency is getting a larger amount allocated simply because they're the agency to implement the plan. And the individual on their own is only getting $34,000.
So this
it's just not equitable.
We're running out of time, Sharon. This meeting coming up on Wednesday will be at 3:00, yes?
Yes, ma'am.
And it's on Zoom, so anybody can join and learn about Engage Illinois. Find out all the exciting things that are planned and different ways that you can be involved as, you know, to advocate for your family member and for the folks in the state who deserve better than what they're getting. Thank you so much for joining me today, Sharon. I really look forward to talking on Wednesday with you and the group. It'll be an exciting time. So thank you so much, Sharon Costabile, advocate, parent, and change maker.
Thank you very much, Vicki. And please, if your listeners would like to go to justadollop.org, they can give us some input about their family situation.
Perfect. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week.
Listening to us on WEFT Champaign Community Radio for East Central Illinois, 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org.
Programming at WEFT is brought to you in part by Minuteman Press. Whether you need signs for an event, thousands of full-color flyers, or personalized promotional items, Minuteman Press can make it happen in time and on budget. They offer an extensive line of products as well as design services. Minuteman Press may be reached online at cuprinting.com, by calling 217-355-0500, or in person at their new location in the Shops of Knollwood Shopping Center at 2131 South Neal Street.